Welcome to everybody on Infernal Dominion, India's only extreme metal radio show hosted by Brutal Existence Radio, USA, serving the best steel and underground metal since 2008. Well, Infernal Dominion has been bringing out lots of great interviews, specially done for the radio, and this time I am going to interview one of my most favorite recent acts, and it is entitled as Mitochondrion. This band hails from Canada, and well, their style is not your typical run-of-the-mill death black metal, but they bring their own new and unorthodox flavor to the darkened arts of blackened death metal. I have Sean from the band, who is the creator, the frontman, the guitarist, and the vocalist of the band. Greetings, Sean. Welcome on the show, and it's a pleasure to do this interview finally after a lot of delays, and I'm sure that it's going to be a great listen for all fans of Mitochondrion.
Cheers, man. Thanks for this opportunity. It's been a long time coming. I'm glad we can do this finally.
Absolutely. So how have you been doing of late, and how has 2011 been for you personally so far?
Well, it's been good. 2011's a big year for us. We put out Parasygnosis, released earlier this year. Lots of new opportunities, confirmed for Rites of Darkness. So yeah, big year for us. In general, for myself, yeah, good year as well. So yeah, we're just pushing forward.
Great. I mean, it's great that you guys have been put on the bill of Rites of Darkness 3, which I'm sure is going to be the best festival which US is going to visit, to witness ever. And so many amazing bands. I seriously wish if I could go there and watch all you guys play.
Unbelievable lineup.
Yeah, I know.
Lost the words every time I think of it.
Yeah, and recently I think Pagan Altar have also been put on the bill.
That's right. Yeah. Just, it gets better and better, just incrementally.
Absolutely. So, my best wishes to you guys and all others who are going to play. I think even Weapon from Canada are going to play over there.
That's right.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so, moving on to your band. First of all, I'm very much intrigued by your band name. And hearing a band name like Mitochondrion, one definitely assumes that there's something bizarre going out there, and I really want you to shed some light on the significance of this name as to why you took this kind of weird and abstract name for a death black metal band.
It's often a point of interest in most interviews because it is such a strange name.
Exactly.
And such an atypical metal name. It's not... when one hears it, it sounds obscure, but when one looks into it, the first reaction is, it's nothing brutal, nothing strange, but the reason it was originally chosen, when we were really young, we first started this band, just the simple fact that when you look into the concept of what a mitochondrion does and how it acts within the living cell, is, you know, at the simple basis concept, it's it provides the power source to the cell. It's like the power source to, you know, to the living cell, and therefore to the basest motivator for life as we know it. So that was the initial reason for it. When we switched members, we had a lineup change. We became a bit more focused and a bit more serious. We had an opportunity to switch the band name because we were essentially changing so many things, and ultimately the sound would become what it is today. We had the opportunity to change the band name, but we stuck with it. And the reason we stuck with it is because we found that it started to apply to a lot more concepts that we were starting to integrate into the band as well. When you look at the mitochondrion itself, it's very similar to the archaic parasite as we know it now, because the parasite is derivative from the archaic life forms from the past. So when you look at that, it comes to represent more of the idea of like the parasite within, and the parasite, the concept of this parasite giving life as we know it. And I could go on and on ad nauseum about this, because if you even look at it from a more of a esoteric, occultic side, you have this concept in alchemy that when you break a subject down to its basic building blocks of life, when you strip it away to the purest elements, you have, or what, you know, the alchemist would call the prima materia, or the original matter. what is left? What do you have? And in our concept, the mitochondrion fits that concept very well.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing theory, and it's great that a Death Black Metal band has such kind of a detailed conceptual name behind it. So hats off to you guys for choosing this name, and it definitely fits your occult and bizarre music as well. And
when you start to scratch the surface with us, all the explanations become very long-winded. we are habitual overthinkers of everything.
I actually love these kind of people. I mean, I would literally love to love you to shed more and more light and go into depths of what all basis of your musical research, right from your lyrical matter and everything. But we'll come on to that later. And personally, I've been a maniacal follower of your band ever since I discovered your Mammoth debut full length almost 2 years back, and it still leaves me in awe whenever I listen to it. You know, the soundscape which this bestial magnum opus unleashes is something transcendental and extremely bizarre. It was kind of hard to say that it exactly sounded like any other band I heard before. So just tell us about how you got these kind of ideas, and what was the initial plans when you had formed Mitochondrion, and how did you move on to get this final sound which you have now?
Well, initially the band started, like I said, when we were fairly young. Okay. All three of us, the first founding members, were all in high school at the time, and the simple goal of the band was to just propagate a band with very brutal sound and a very extreme approach in a scene that didn't have much going on for it at the time. There wasn't a lot of heavy bands. There were metal bands, but not very much. We're originally from Vancouver, Vancouver Island, a city called Victoria, yeah, in British Columbia, here in Canada. And I'm not sure if anyone has been there, but it's a retirement community, a lot of young families, very sheltered. But at the same time, it has spawned some pretty extreme acts, and I think it's in response to this kind of dull existence and very sheltered existence. So that was our main focus, was to just be a brutal band, heavy death metal band in a scene that we felt didn't have that represented. How things progressed? Well, it seems to the band has just matured as we have matured. It has taken on new forms as we've taken on new forms, so to speak. So in a sense, this is all of our first bands. This is the first band I've ever been in, and this has been my main passion. So I put everything that I am interested in, everything that I would like to hear, I interject into this band. And as my tastes grow, the band grows. As my as my interests grow, they'll be integrated into the band as well. So that's how you have this constant blooming of different ideas and different sounds and
okay,
so on and so forth.
So how many years has it been since Mitochondrion was formed?
The initial spark of the band was it's been since 2002. It was it was myself, Nick Yanchuk, who's the other guitarist and vocalist, and then our old bassist, Nick.
Okay.
We were very, very young. And initially, it was just us three. We had no drummer. We did recordings on the computer with a drum machine, and then it somehow that has evolved into what we're at today. Long, long story in between.
Sounds good. So you were also part of some other bands like Gremory and Havoc, etc., if I remember.
Yeah, I've been fleetingly involved in some other bands, mostly with friends and friends who have needed certain positions in their band filled, and it's more so just a meeting of friends who are looking for other musicians, and instead of going with someone they don't know, go with someone who has the experience and has maybe the capabilities they're looking for. But, you know, nothing significant came out of these bands, and I was never a real creative force behind these acts.
All right. So these bands were also death metal bands or something different?
Well, Grimry was a technical death metal band, more in the vein of like a Spawn of Possession or something you'd hear on the early days of Unique Leader, something like that. That's what they were going for.
Okay.
I have a very brutal vocal style approach.
Yeah.
They were looking for a vocalist. I helped them out. I wrote the lyrics. And, you know, ultimately, good friends, we're still in touch today, but ultimately, you know, things didn't work out. And Havoc was a serious black metal band by some very, very staunch, serious Satanists who, to this day, are you know, putting their efforts forth in a rare, very promising band in the local scene here. Their band currently is called Pest Cruise, and I encourage everyone to check out that if you're into anti-cosmic Satanism, unorthodox black metal, with a very, very extreme, brutal approach.
That sounds good to me. I think I will check that out.
I encourage it.
Sure. Thanks for mentioning that name. So I think all the listeners who are also fans of Mitochondrion might check them out and just enjoy the music. Thanks for that.
For sure. That's fair.
And since you said that Mitochondrion's musical evolution is changing as your own personal musical tastes evolve, and I think this is pretty much evident on your albums, the music, because the composition, the structures, it's definitely not your average death metal or your average black metal. And I think you have also used some other influences of yours apart from metal, some like dark ambient and even noises, martial industrial. And I feel this because of the way some of the intros, the interludes and outros have been executed on Archaeon. And especially my favorite part would be the interlude, which comes in Into the Pit of Babel towards 3 minutes 20 seconds, something like that. That is an absolutely amazing part. I mean, whenever I listen to that song,
excellent,
I keep on waiting for that part to come, because after all the initial brutal hammering, you just wait for that part to come where everything ceases down and it gets beautiful, atmospheric, and then it's hell breaks loose again. So just tell
a
more about
moment of solace in there.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I think, one of the best moments in extreme music, I guess. So tell us about your own different elements and influences apart from metal. How did you get to fuse all of them together with Mitochondrion, which is a metal band?
Great question, and one that I often look forward to. Of course, we grew up listening to metal. It's the first music genre I think of when what is my favorite music, and so on. However, those other elements, almost just as important to me. I listen to a lot of martial industrial, neo folk, harsh electronic music. I wouldn't say dance music at all. A lot of people, when they hear electronic music, they clump it in with dance music. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
For sure you do. There's just as strong of a powerful aura and just as dark of a powerful aura in these music styles that you'll find in some of the more extreme metal styles. So, to me, when I listen to these musics, I get the same kind of feeling. I get the same rush. I get the same cathartic experience. It's all depending on the execution of the music and the, you know, the feeling they put into it. It trumps almost anything else that you could associate with the music, in my opinion. So it's only natural that we would want to include these kind of styles and these kind of feelings in the music, because they complement each other very well. If you listen closely to our albums, you'll notice that in the back of almost all, in fact, every song, there's a timpani track going. There's a martial war drum going at all times.
Yes, it does.
And it's not as prevalent as the other instruments, but it's there, and if you listen for it, you can hear it. And there's a reason for that, because it's a simple reason why the war drum, the martial drumming, is so powerful and can cause such a reaction, and why it's used in such heavy things like war, because it can evoke that feeling of triumph, or invokes that feel in the enemy of fear or something. So we're trying to use these kind of concepts and these kind of ideas within the music to just strengthen the concepts.
Yeah. That sounds good.
And,
Go on.
And, you know, just big fan of, and, you know, so that martial aspect comes from the neo-folk and the martial industrial.
Right.
But the noisier elements, the dark ambient elements, that influence directly comes from our local, you know, we have a lot of strong players in the noise and power electronics and dark ambient scenes. I don't like to call it scenes because it's hard to label that as a scene. I would just say art forms, really. We witnessed acts like Funerary Call,
exactly.
Griefer, Taskmaster. These, I would, Brutophilia. I strongly urge people to check these acts out as well if you're into power industrial, or power electronics and dark ambient, especially Funerary Call. Seeing Funerary Call was a moment that really inspired us. It's the first time that I'd really witnessed a live musical act that really inspired a feeling of fear and a feeling of dread. And it was something that I don't think I've ever felt from anything else prior or since. So including something like that into the music, it only became something natural.
That's great, because I know Funerary Rites, and I think, sorry, Funerary Call, and it's a good band. So you say that they influence you and your band to this kind of an extent, so it's really overwhelming.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So I hope that the other listeners also take up to these kind of styles and not just restrict themselves to one genre, which usually happens. I mean, this is what I usually see around, that just be cult and listen to metal and that's all. That's all life is all about. I don't believe that.
It's really easy to do that, but it's also very rewarding once you expand your horizons just a little bit. It doesn't even have to be that far.
Exactly. So which would be your favorite neo-folk act?
Well, for me, I've always been a huge, huge fan of Death in June. Death in June has been, you know, it was the first band I heard in that vein, and just strictly being a metalhead at the time, it almost hit me very hard. And I listened to their album Rose Clouds of Holocaust, or his album at the time, because he was on his own then. And I think I listened to that album over and over and over again when I first got it, and just been digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the whole thing. And I appreciate everything that he's had his hand in, every related act, and it's a very tight little circle there once you start investigating, and
yeah.
It's extremely rewarding, extremely rewarding.
Good call, because I think Death in June are one of the pioneers of the neo-folk style, and they definitely
exactly.
unmatched,
it's
in my
easy
opinion.
Answer to give. It's an easy answer to give because it was the first act, you know, to be called quote-unquote neo-folk. I know he doesn't even like that label,
yeah.
But to me, it's the purest, and it will always be one of the best.
Yeah. And what is your opinion on Swans?
Oh, another great band. I wouldn't call them neo-folk, per se. Just,
no,
you
not
know,
neo-folk. That's a usual question.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Another great band. I saw them perform earlier. I guess it would be this year. Yeah, this year in Vancouver here, and very powerful, endlessly extreme jam session is what they were doing this time around. But I'm also a big fan of the stuff with Jarbo and some of the mellower stuff as well. Just another great band.
Yeah, sounds good. And I think one of the most important qualities of Mitochondrion, according to me, is the pummeling execution of yours and Nick's twin guitar and vocal onslaughts, which never ceased to churn malignant and highly atmospheric dissonance. I mean, I am a big fan of your deep guttural style, which is definitely unique, and it provides a very heavy and a sort of a nightmarish tone to the music. And on the same hand, Nick's high-pitched wails and shrieks sound like he was possessed by Satan himself. So this quality, this dark quality and the atmosphere kind of reminds me of Portal sometimes, but of course, I mean, your music is played at a much more brutal space, and it's certainly more complex. So how long have you and Nick, been honing your guitar skills?
Well, interesting question. Nick has been playing guitar as long as most people our age have been playing since he was a young teenager, possibly before. So I consider him quite talented on the guitar, quite talented musician. Myself, I had been playing a little bit of guitar here and there, mostly just tinkering. As a fan of music, I think any music fan will eventually just pick up an instrument and start toying around with it. But for me, it never became a really serious thing until we made the decision to part ways with our second guitarist in the past. Our second guitarist, Mitch. I don't know if you've looked at our past lineup, but we had prior guitarist was a guy named Mitch, very talented guitar player. So I had to essentially just learn very fast, pick up the guitar, and just get up to speed. And I've always appreciated brutal, bizarre music, so it would only be natural that I would write this kind of stuff. So I started playing guitar seriously for the band in 2006. So my foray into seriously playing guitar has been very limited compared to some. So.
Okay. Cool. And you guys released your sophomore full-length entitled as Parasynosis. Is that how it's pronounced or what?
We pronounce it Parasynosis.
Parasynosis, okay.
Yeah.
So you released this album earlier through Profound Law, and I took utmost pleasure in reviewing it once again because it was incredible. Definitely have raised the bar for your own band again. But honestly, I still enjoy Arkaye on more, but I think that Parasynosis is something different, and it would be very interesting to hear about how this album was conceived, right from the initial song idea to the final output, and what were some of the changes which you brought in as compared to Arkaye on, because I think it's a lot different than the previous album.
Well, you're right. Yeah, it is very different, and the approach is really different as well.
Yeah.
When we were putting Archaon together, it's every song that we had written as a band up until that point. So it represented several years of songwriting, several years of influences, and tweaking songs to fit new ideas and that kind of thing. So it was we had a lot of time to really put that one together, and we put a significant amount of time into the recording and the mixing and the concepts. However, these songs were written over several years. So that's, if you listen to Archaon, it might not have the exact uniformity that some albums might have. It's a lot of influence, a lot's going on that one.
Okay.
However, the writing process of Parasynosis, a much more condensed time, so maybe 2 years of focused songwriting, as opposed to the entire existence of a band. And the concept of the album, like the initial get-go, was to write a more death metal focused album, and the hope was to write something very influenced by early Morbid Angel, early Deicide, the more very old school death metal, but give it our own spin onto it. So what started off as the approach of writing some straightforward songs, but then tweaking them as they go, instantly, that was abandoned pretty soon into the song recording process, as things just became very obscure and very strange, and it seems that we're almost never satisfied with a riff or never satisfied with a song unless it has that kind of bizarre atmosphere to it, or unsettling, uneasy kind of feel to it.
Okay.
So the idea was to write a much more concise sounding album, rather than one that really runs the gamut of influences and sounds and everything.
Okay. This sounds interesting, because I did not thought that you guys would be influenced by more traditional acts like Morbid Angel and Deicide for your work, but I think you gave your own twisted approach to it, so that makes it something spectacular.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. We do listen to all the traditional metal acts. We listen to everything from Judas Priest, as traditional as it gets, right up to the most bizarre, warped bands out there, and we try to take a little bit from everything.
That's a great quality. Hats off for that.
Thanks.
So, for the time being, I think this would be it for the interview, and we'll continue with the second part of the interview sometime later. So,
excellent.
It was great to do this first part, and I hope that all the listeners are definitely going to enjoy it. And hope to see you soon, John. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.